This is Apple Music.
I'm the worst thing and the best thing that's ever happened to all of you. We all know I love a good Vogue. It's not a surprise. This is Gaga Radio. On
Apple Music.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 2 of Gaga Radio, only on Apple Music. Last week, I shared my conversation with a true friend and creative partner, Blood Pop. Blood also delivered a fantastic dance mix. And in case you missed it, you can listen back to the whole show on Apple Music. Today, I'm going to get another one of Chromatica's creative minds on the line to talk about the album, my friend Burns. I met Burns through Blood Pop, actually. He's just this incredibly talented person, human. His heart is filled with gold, and it was really wonderful. Blood Pop really didn't bring anyone into the studio with me at any given moment that I couldn't be myself around. And, you know, Burns and I developed a wonderful friendship, as, of course, like, me and Blood Pop are super, super close and thick as thieves. And I remember there was one night, I think Burns had redone a drop on one of the records so many times. And at one point I just started with him being like, oh, it sucks now. Oh no, it's great. Oh no, I can't. I just kept I kept messing with him and changing my mind. And he was so tired that he was just started belly laughing. And that should give you some idea of, you know, how this album grew. It grew first from, you know, me kind of being in this super low place, and then my buddies coming over to make records with me. And then before we knew it, we were at Henson and we were all laughing and finishing the record together. And it totally brought me back to life. So let's get back to the show. For the next hour, you're going to hear an amazing mix made by Burns and our conversation. I hope you enjoy episode 2 of Gaga Radio, only on Apple Music. Let's go.
Is Gaga Radio.
Hello.
Hello, Burns. You know, we've been talking a lot about the record, and I do believe, and it's not your only contribution to this album in any way, but I do believe that Sour Candy with Blackpink is such a stroke of genius. When you turned that into a basement record, I remember I almost fell on the floor. I was like, what? I literally was like, man, what did you just do? And why? Like, who would think to put basement dance music with K-pop? Please explain this to the world. You've explained it to me, except I probably had too many whiskeys when you did. So go, please go.
You were gashed at the time.
You'd always be like, "You're so gashed, Gaga."
I remember when we spoke, when I first sort of started working on the album with you guys, we spoke about, or I kept using the word authenticity quite a lot, I guess.
Yeah.
In an electronic music sense, it's like there's a fine line with dance music where you can do something that's quite current and trendy, which doesn't necessarily stand the test of time. So I think
it never does.
Yeah, things can become sort of flash in the pan sounding sometimes with electronic music. So it was always at the forefront of my mind, and I think, and your mind and Blood's mind, is that everything had to be timeless in some way, and it had to feel classic. So I think when we sat record, and I have to give like a lot of credit to Blood as well with that one, that was really like a team effort on that. We both sat with that song for a day, and we were trying to crack the code with it, as you do with most songs. It's like there's always a moment where something happened.
It wasn't authentic just yet. We had a song. I had written my parts on that record, but the track was not right. And it wasn't right because it wasn't authentic to me as an artist. Whether it was authentic to Blackpink or not was kind of up in the air as well. But the direction that you both took it in, like, was it because sonically when you took it there, it felt right? Or did you feel like there was a hole missing in the album? Because you know that Sour Candy, of course, was done much later in the writing process. Like, this was way, way further down the line than like Stupid Love. Stupid Love was at least two and a half years ago.
I think at that time we had a clear idea, right, of what the, you know, sonically how everything felt. So one half of it was that record, how great the song was in the core of it, and how important it was going to be, but it had to just fit as well with everything else. So half of it was that, and then the other half was the album did need that moment, I think, that like dark basement techie moment in the where people can just, you know, lose themselves in the club or, you know, wherever they are. It's a real dance music release kind of record. It feels feels like a throwback to that 90s era, you know, where there was warehouse parties and, you know, sweaty dance music raves. And it did need that. And I think it kind of brought that moment to the record too. And it just came to life when we flipped it.
Like that part that I wrote, you know, I might be messed up, but I know what's up. You want a real taste? At least I'm not a fake, right? Like when I did that over the original track. And then you guys flipped it. So like, is that what helped influence some of it? Or was it just completely separate and just out of your authentic love of dance music?
I don't know if you were consciously thinking of it, but that part that you wrote over the, you know, the old version, it is almost like that kind of 90s throwback sort of Vogue-y kind of, you know, sort of basement sounding vocal part.
Well, we all know I love a good Vogue.
Right.
That's not a surprise.
So that just inspired us to create that moment around it. Like I said, it's a combination. And, you know, what you did was a driving force for what we did. So nothing on that is possible without what you did in the first place, too. So you're as much to blame for the sweaty basement vibe as I am.
You know, as someone that grew up in this business, starting when I was 19, I was writing for other artists. I was working with tons of different producers. The business was very much like you go see this producer, they play you a track. I mean, I used to walk into a room with a producer, they would play me a track and they would leave. And like, I just would sit there and I'd write the song and record it. And then I'd leave the room. I guess what I was wondering is like, I used to, especially on Art Pop, like I used to have to like really force buddies of mine to collaborate with each other. And having multiple producers on one album alone was a thing. Mm-hmm. If you're someone like me, like it's not necessarily for an artist that doesn't write their own music, right? Because the label will like help garner like and galvanize like all these like songs from different people to make a record, right? Yeah. But when you're the artist and you're really in charge of who you're working with, and I'm just interested on what it's like for you on Chromatica. You guys were so egoless. There was no, this is my track, don't change it, don't touch it. It was very much like you would make stuff on the fly and then play it for us and look around and go, do you like that, basically, right? And then like maybe Blood would come over and change something. How different was this from other experiences for you?
I think first and foremost, it was so refreshing to have that kind of environment, you know, because that sort of stuff still happens now, you know, you still hear, well, you know, it doesn't happen with me because I do love collaboration. I think it's super important, but you know, there are still producers that will walk in a room and give you a beat and walk out and that's it, you know, but that was the, you know, that was what was so refreshing about this album and the environment that we were in was that, and I think credit to Blood as well for trying to find producers that had the same sort of mindset.
Yeah, for sure.
Because bringing me in was a decision based on what my vibe is like in the room and how open I was to collaboration, you know, and he knew that at the core, it's really about just, you know, what we can bring to the song to make it the best it could possibly be.
Was so special to me. I mean, I have to like hand it to all of you guys. I was like basically making music in the dark when we started this record because I was so depressed. Mm-hmm. And then I slowly came back to life and you guys used to always like, you know, call me out when I'd walk in and I'd have my big boots on and my damn hair in pigtails with whatever color I dyed my hair that day. You'd be like, oh, Lady Gaga's here today, you know? But you guys pushed me too. Watching you guys, it made me much more open to when Rami would come in and he would be like, okay, I heard your verse, what about this, right? Or you would come in and you would say, okay, Replay, what about this? Like, and you know, Replay was like our baby. I mean, I was obsessed with your production on Replay.
Yeah, I chatted to Bobby briefly last night and we were just talking about how Replay turned out and like how, you know, I'd said to him, like, I'm so listening back now after having like a kind of a gap between when we finished and to now, listening back to that record, I just feel, you know, and you should too, obviously feel so proud of like how that one turned out. It makes me proud as well to see the reaction to it too, because people seem to just be really positive about that song.
People love it. And that song to me is the most, in some ways, it's the most specifically about what it's like to have post-traumatic stress.
You're really kind of working through some pain writing the record, and the way it turns out and the way it sounds, you know, it's, I just feel like it turned out as best it could have possibly been. So,
well, I feel like you turned it into an opus. I mean, to be honest, it's like, it, that's not how it sounded when we first started it.
No,
you know?
I know, yeah.
And even the melody change, I mean, it kept morphing. And like, I remember I was going, okay, but I do want to make sure, guys, that we're clear. I mean, the lyrics didn't change that much.
No, but important as well, looking back, that you fought for that record too. I know, because, you know, we went through it with it, you know, trying to make sure that it was right, and you really fought because you loved the song and it meant so much to you. And looking back now, that was so important that that's the way it turned out.
I just love that song. I mean, I love it, and when I listen to it, I hate it. It's like, I don't hate listening to it. I just mean, like, I hear the lyrics, you know, am I still alive? Where am I? I cry. Who is it that pulled the trigger? Was it you or I? Like, it's like I just remember that the poetry that I felt about that song, and then when you played that, I came in one day and you played it for me, and I was like crying and dancing, and it was like listening to somebody that I know, like, I know you, like, you love me as an art, like, we love each other, right? And like, I love Blood and he loves me, we all love each other. And
that goes back to the question though, you know, why the environment was so perfect. And it really is what makes a great album, I think, is that all the people involved really do care, you know, about one another.
Yeah.
It isn't just business, you know, it's like, we cared about the music, we cared about you, and you cared about us. And you can always tell when an album has been created by a tight-knit team, you know? And always the classic records and the ones that turn out, you know, the most cohesive are always by a team that, of a core group of people that really understand one another, I think.
What was it like the first time you saw me have like a panic attack or a trauma response and have to leave or like take my medicine? Like, what was that like for you? And like, how did it make you think about the album differently or what you were going to do differently?
You get a real understanding for how much it means to you, I guess. You know, the writing side of it all, it was very much part therapy to you, I think. You know, you were getting some things out that you needed to get out, and it made me have the sense of how important this was going to be to get right, you know, for you, so that I can kind of help you in some way to heal that kind of stuff, you know. It's very deep.
But you did. It was very deep. I feel like, usually I feel like something dies when I put a record out, like something dies or someone died. Like, and with this album, I said it's the first time that I felt like something died that no longer serves me, like an exorcism, you know?
Yeah, totally. Also credit to your sort of bravery as well, in terms of being not afraid to show that to me. You know, as a guy that just walked in the room, doesn't really know you and you don't know me, but you're able to not hide anything, I guess, in that situation. And it's important that you did, because it made, you know, it gave me the real sense of, you know, how much it meant to you.
I think I remember the first time that happened with you there, and I think I just said something to you like, I'm really sorry, but like my brain is doing this thing right now and I'm freaking out and like I'm really super embarrassed, and you just told me not to be embarrassed. And but I just remember thinking like, don't hide it from him. Just let him see it, and then look at the poetry that like arose out of it is Replay. Like, and I remember like thinking to myself, I could trust everything about the music that you were making with us, with Blood, with everybody. I could trust everything about it because I knew that you knew me. What was it like for you when you saw me off versus on? Like, what was like, how quick was the switch? Did you like, what was your experience with it? And how did that inform the way that you produced?
It's all about needing to know somebody fully to be able to make art together, I guess. So it was important for me to see both those sides of you, and for you to be fully honest with me in order for me to help you write, you know, that kind of record.
Yeah.
Again, credit to you for just allowing me to see that, because it helped me do what I was there to do, which was help you write the songs and finish the records and produce stuff, you know. So it all, again, it's like what we were saying before, the reason the record feels so cohesive and feels right to me anyway is because of how much you allowed us into your life.
Do you have a favorite memory of making Chromatica? With me or without me there, just any memory? Like,
I have to say, like, Chromatica, the experience is at the height of my sort of musical experiences, I guess. Like, the team and everything. Me, Blood, like, I just hope that I get that again at some point, because it really was. Looking back in this weird current climate that we're in, and we're all kind of on a rope at home, it's like, looking back at that time when we were finishing the record, it was just such a, you know, a great experience to have, like, such a great team of people, and we were all just like on the same page musically, and, you know, creating this art. It's going to be one of those lifelong memories, you know. I'm getting so deep with it.
it's beautiful, man. I mean, I think it's like, for me, what was so important is making sure that everybody in an environment like that, that everyone had the ability to shine, and that then I showed up the way that you all did. Because if I were to come in and go, okay, well, you guys are all going to collaborate, but I'm going to do everything when it comes to the songwriting, it never would have worked, right? It's like I had to relinquish some semblance of control over the stories I was telling about my life, and really engage in talking to all of you about, like, how can I communicate this message in a better way if you hear it in a better way? And you know me, like, if someone sings me a better melody than one that I wrote, I'm not going to say that it was not good just because I want to use my melody. Like, for me, if someone does better than me, I'll be like, oh, that's the shit. Hold on, give me a second. I mean, Replay had so many iterations of that damn verse. I mean, I still remember.
Yeah, so many different rhythmic interpretations, but we got the right one in the end.
How many different iterations of the bass line on Rain On Me do you think you did?
That kind of answers the question before as well, like, because one of my fondest memories was actually playing sort of my version of Rain On Me to you for the first time. Mm-hmm. I think that might have been the first time we were even in the studio together, maybe.
I cried.
Yeah, and you cried, and, like, you know, just that feeling of knowing that we'd cracked the record, and also you were happy, and the reaction that you gave to me kind of was my sort of acceptance into the crew a bit, and, like, that's always going to be a memory, you know.
You're listening to Apple Music.
This is Gaga Radio. We made it. Episode 2 of Gaga Radio on Apple Music is in the books. I want to thank Burns for joining me this hour and for the incredible mix we all heard for an hour long. Both Burns and Blood Pop have excellent taste. I love listening to their playlists, or I'll love just hanging out with Blood Pop while he plays me new music that he's found. It's super fun, and I'm so thankful that they were able to be a part of Gaga Radio. So next week is 3 of Gaga Radio, and it's a very special one. I won't share who my guest is, but it's someone very near and dear to me, who's also on the record, and I can't wait for you to find out who it is. Until then, take care of each other out there. Please make sure that you just take care of yourself, take care of your mental health. Everyone knows how important mental health is to me, and I see what's happening in the world and in this pivotal social shifting moment in society. And as the culture changes and as society changes, I think the best thing that we can do is stand up for each other in the spirit of kindness. So stay in that kindness, and that kindness includes being kind to yourself. So please be kind to yourself, be kind to your community, be kind to adjacent communities, and be kind to the planet. See you soon. I love you all.